Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We're here to talk about wisdom this morning. Wisdom this morning. A few weeks ago, I asked the Lord what he had me to say to his people, and I heard the Lord begin to talk about wisdom. You know, told me to go to the book of James. You know, speaking of wisdom, you know, a lot of times we say, go to the book of James, and he gives you a scripture, and then all of a sudden you begin to race ahead. Talking about wisdom. And I said, no, you stay here, and I'm going to show you where to go.
Amen.
James, the third chapter. We're going to kind of be jumping around. So we'll be jumping around in the book of James. James, the third chapter and the 13th verse starts like this. It said, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Who is wise? It's a lot of folks saying that they're wise. It's a lot of folks proclaiming to be wise in the things of God. You know, there's a lot of wisdom going out. A lot of folks proclaiming themselves to be masters of wisdom. The Bible also says in the first verse, it says, be not many masters. In other words, don't try to know everything.
Amen.
A lot of folks try to show their Christianity by how much they know or how much they can demonstrate. It's not you just trying to show my brothers how much of a Christian I am or how much knowledge I have. It's not about that.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. It's not about that.
Amen.
Come on.
I'm to show God. It's all about Jesus. I'm to show him how much I know and then to demonstrate it the same way he did. So he said, who is wise? And who has been endued or is meant to be to obtain knowledge as a result of prolonged attention? In other words, that kind of erases the newcomers, because a lot of folks come into church and get saved, and next thing you know, they know all about Jesus. Barely can spell his name, but they know all about it.
Come out.
I'm trying to tell you about it. Barely spell the name, but they're going to tell you about the things of God.
Amen.
Who is wise and endued with intelligence among you? It says, let him show out of a good conversation his works. To show out from the motion from the interior. In other words, from the inside out. God has placed himself within us. So we're supposed to, out of that, that's supposed to show out of us.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Out of a good conversation, that means our behavior.
Right.
Our behavior is supposed to be on point with the things of God.
Right.
With meekness of wisdom. Jesus was humble. He was the Son of God, but he was humble. That's the kind of meekness he's talking about. It's a gentle wisdom. It's a meek wisdom. It's a wisdom or intelligence that is able to approach everybody, because Jesus had the ability to approach everybody.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And we as his ambassadors are supposed to be about the same thing. We are supposed to be able to approach everybody. It's not about preaching, but to get into folks' presence. You get into folks' presence with a smile, a kind word, a handshake. And from that point on, then God may give you the open the door for you to shed some of that wisdom that he's given to you. But he said, who is wise and to do with knowledge, let him show out of a good behavior his works with it. Meekness of wisdom. Go to the first chapter, the 17th verse. James 1 and 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift, every time God gives up a gift, it's good and it's perfect.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Why? Because it's from above, it's from Him.
Right.
It cometh down from the source. He is the source of this wisdom. We were just talking about wisdom in that verse. We're still talking about wisdom. Wisdom is a gift. It's a good gift. It's a mature gift. It's a perfect gift. And it comes down from the divine power.
Amen.
From the Father of lights. Jesus is the light. He has a Father. His Father is also the same of the light. Father also talks about His relationship to His Son, who He begot. In other words, Jesus was begotten of the Father. Not born like we think of born, but begotten of the Father. And shows the relationship. Jesus said, when you see Me, you see the Father. In other words, the nature, the character, and once again, since we're talking about it, the wisdom of God, which was passed from God to Jesus on His earth walk, that's what He demonstrates. And this gift is given from above, cometh down to us from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness. In other words, we're talking about wisdom and folks sharing their own wisdom. God has given His wisdom, and God does not vary. He does not alternate. Yes. In other words, He don't give good wisdom 1 minute and bad wisdom the next.
Right.
He doesn't turn. He doesn't change. Okay, if it was possible to show Him, if the light was to hit God and we could see it in a physical manner, His shadow wouldn't move. His shadow wouldn't move. As far as the wisdom and the nature, it does not change. Therefore, our wisdom is not supposed to change either. Why? Because the good gift and the perfect gift is in us. It's in us. And if there's no changing or alternating for personalities within Him, then there's not supposed to be within us.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Go to the 5th verse. James 1 and 5. It says, if any lack this wisdom, let him ask of God, the revealed God, that giveth to men, all men, liberally. Only you know whether you lack wisdom or not. You have to be honest with yourself. There was a time in this church I had been saved, approximately 17 years. And I told God, Lord, I don't know Your word. I haven't read it from cover to cover. You know how you do. You start at Genesis and go through the Revelation. And done that a couple times. I said, Lord, I still don't know this stuff. I need You to help me. So God began to help me. There were classes that would open up. Pastor Garten was over. A lot of times I'd be the only one there, one or two. Didn't matter, because I wanted to know His word.
Amen.
What it taught me was not to depend upon pastor, but to learn for myself how to divide the word of God. Amen. It's just like a child. When a child, you put him in the high chair, a lot of you, at first you have to feed him. You have to feed the child. But then even in the high chair, he's supposed to be able to have a little fork and a little knife and begin to eat for himself.
Amen.
That's what this thing is talking about here. If any of you lack knowledge or lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Freely. There's not a string attached to God's wisdom.
Amen.
It's not a string attached. It's bountiful. And because you don't know, it says, and upbraideth not. He giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given to him. If you ask for it, God will give it to you. But you got to ask in faith.
Amen.
I would, self-examination. We hear that scripture talking about, communion, self-examination. I'd ask God, where was I lacking? And then I'd run from the answer because I was scared to hear. You have to get to a place in God where you are mature enough to stand there and hear the criticism from God.
Right.
Why? Because God loves you. He is concerned about you, and He is not going to do anything to detriment to you. In other words, what does it say? It said, If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraid it not. In other words, God's not going to smack you in the head because you don't know it.
Right.
He's not going to talk about you or make fun of you because you don't know. See, you know, sometimes our brothers and sisters in the church, you know, they find out you don't know, so, oh, he don't know.
Yeah.
Something wrong with them. They've been here this long and don't know.
Wow. Yeah.
What is that going to do? That's going to cause you not to ask anymore.
Right.
But see, God doesn't do that.
Right.
He said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. In other words, when you ask God for something, believe that you receive it and he shall have it. It said, for he that wavered, alternated. Remember we said God don't alternate? Here, that wavering means to alternate. You want it today, then you don't want it tomorrow. Right. He said, that man is like the waves of the sea. In other words, just tossed and driven. It's going any and everywhere. He said, let not that man think that he shall receive anything from God. That man's not going to receive from God. You're not going to receive wisdom from God if you alternate. You're not going to receive wisdom from God if you're not studying. You're not going to receive wisdom from God if you're not opening this book, because that's where the wisdom comes from.
Amen.
You have to learn to go to God for yourself.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of stuff on TV, folks are setting themselves up as wisdom. Woo. Oh, my God. They're the wise one. Jesus is the one with all the knowledge, but they're setting themselves up as the wise one. Why? So that you can look to them for your dependence. And out of that wisdom that they're sharing, their wisdom is full of fear. So that you're scared. If I'm a child of God, why should I be scared?
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus loves me. He said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. That sound mind so I can operate and do the things that I have to do. In spite of what's going on around me, I still got the sound mind. In spite of what they're saying about me on my job, I got the sound mind. In spite of the way folks treat me, I still have the sound mind so that I can operate and hear from God to get me out of the mess.
Amen.
Come on, give God some praise.
Yes.
7th verse again. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-minded. Two minds. Alternating back and forth. Unstable. Once again, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men, that means women too, liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Go back to the 3 and 14. We're still talking about wisdom here. 3 and 14. It says, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. In other words, I'm not supposed to be opposite. What happens is with a lot of folks, they get saved, and then they think because they got this new nature in them, the things and the thoughts and the ideas that they have, God has rubber stamped them. No. No. God does not use your previous experience.
Right.
The things that you learned while you were coming up before you got saved, as far as your nature and your character, he cannot use them.
Amen.
This bitter ending is talking about having your wisdom up against the word wisdom of God. Bible says, I present for you to present your body as a living sacrifice unto God. When you sacrifice yourself, you put all of those things, all of those experiences that you learned before on the altar. So that you now can begin to operate by the wisdom that God will give you. Brothers, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only way, it says, old things are passed away. Don't pass away right away.
Amen.
Old things are passed.
seem a way as you learn this word and are transformed by the renewing of your mind, then the old things, the old attitudes, the old ideas will pass away, and this new nature will be caused all of this knowledge that you now receive from God to create a new heart and a new mindset, and the new nature of God will begin to flourish.
Amen.
So in other words, don't have bitter envying for your wisdom as opposed to God's.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Because a lot of folks do things in the church and they think it's all right. It's against the word. But then they convince themselves that it's all right. And strive. Bitter envying and strive. Striving against the word. Contention against the word. The Bible says the word of God is doctrine. It's instruction. It's reproof and correction. It's doctrine for righteousness. Instruction in how we should live. When I mess up, it will reprove itself and me along with it so that I can get, and then correct me. And I say me because, you know, we go, oh, he's pointing at me and saying this and that. So I'm not supposed to allow this bitter envying for my own wisdom to put it up against the word of God. Because let me tell you something. We don't see a lot of this stuff that goes on, but it's subtle. See, the first man was subtle in his way. What do you mean? He was sneaky in his way. So a lot of the things that you, that go on, you don't see them.
Right. Amen.
It's not like out in the world. What do you mean? I was telling the pastor, I was in a Burger King a couple weeks ago, and I was the second in line. With four of us came in. I'm the second one. I ordered my food. I'm waiting. You know, something going on. The food's not coming. Well, two other folks come in there. This last guy, he come in there. He wait. He didn't wait less than we have, but he get the clown. Cussing folk out and throwing the signs and talking about, you better get my blankety blank food and all this kind of stuff. Well, the young lady turned around and said, you don't know who you messing with. Because I can go back here and push this button, and within 2 minutes, we got some folks that will help you up out of here. And she went to go push the button. Like, oh, no, you know, come on. See, it's not explosive like that. It's
man.
Subtle.
Man.
It's so subtle, like I said, folks are still blaming the devil for what the man done. And it's been over 2,000 years ago, and they still haven't caught up. That's how dangerous and how subtle it is.
Right, right.
Unless you're looking for it in the word, you won't see it.
Right, amen.
15th verse. This wisdom descendeth not from above. The sneaky wisdom. This stuff that's behind the scenes. It's not from God. He's telling you it's not from God. When I get out of order, it's not from God.
Right, right.
I can speak in tongues. That wisdom is still not from God.
Right.
Mistreating my brothers and my sisters, acting out, is not from God.
Right.
That wisdom is not descended from above. But it tells you where it is. It's earthly. It's earthly. In other words, it comes from the earth. It's sensual. It's of the senses. How I feel. That's how I operate. What I feel like doing, and I do it in the name of the Lord, it's subtle. It's against God. But because I can lift my hands up, it's subtle. And it's all right with me. God's saying that that wisdom is not from above, but it's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. Does it mean that came from Lucifer? No. It's a comparison. In other words, you look at the tree. When the man and Lucifer, the serpent, were standing at the tree, there was an agreement with them, between the two of them. The devil did not possess the man. The man knew who he was. God showed him who he was. God showed him that he tried to come up into heaven and how to overthrow it and how he got kicked out. So the man, being more clever than Lucifer, said, I'll go another way.
Yeah.
I see I can't go head up with God and win. But let me bend this truth a little bit. Let me bend this nature a little bit.
Yes, Lord.
So he makes the pronouncement, we all heard it. For this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. And we say it at every marriage ceremony. Oh, how can that have anything to do with it? Look at the result. What happened? He left his mother and his father.
Man.
He said it in such a clever way that it sounded good. But you have to look at the results of what people are doing, not what they're talking about.
Right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
That wisdom descended not from above, but it's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. It says, for envying, where envying and strife is, where that envying, where that pushing up against God's word, where that's fighting up against the word that is preached, that proclaimed, the true word. It said, there is confusion. In other words, when I fight up against the word of God, I create in my own self a state of confusion. Now, I don't think I'm confused. But God says I'm confused. Why? Because he's the one that sends this wisdom that we're talking about. So he said, son, you're confused. You're in a confused state. And out of that confused state comes every evil work. The adultery, the fornication, the lying, the mistreatment, all of that stuff that's over there in Galatians, the fifth chapter, talking about the works of the flesh. All of that comes out of the state of being confused.
Yeah.
All of that comes out of me fighting up against the word of God, not receiving it. Here's a silly moment, y'all. Silly moment. When I was little, I used to love this TV show. My brother, he knew about it. Came on in the 50s. So I was a little fella when it came on. Well, it started out, but when I received, started looking, it was like the 60s, but still I was little. It started George Reeves, and it was called The Adventures of Superman. And what was so fascinating about it, me being little, seeing this guy standing up there with a big S on his chest and folks firing bullets at him and it was bouncing off of him. You know, I'm thinking that's fantastic.
Right.
Well, what has that got to do with today, Pastor Keys? I'm still fascinated by it because it's a lot of superhumans in the church. And instead of bullets bouncing off of them, this is what bounces off of them. They stand up there with their chest stuck out and the word's being preached and it's bouncing off of them. Ricocheting. Why? Can't penetrate because of their superhumanity.
Right.
Or let me break it down to you. Because of their old nature, because they like the way they are, they don't receive the word of God. So we pray the prayer, you know, every time, Lord, don't let us lead like we can. But because we don't hear the word, we do exactly that. We lead the same way that we can. Why? Because we don't receive the engrafted word of God. We let it bounce off of us. We stick our chest out. It said, don't boast. Go back to the 14th verse. It's about to have bitter ending and strife in your heart. Glory not. Boast not. Don't stick your chest out.
Man.
And lie yourself. Place yourself up against the truth of God's word.
Right.
Folks are placing themselves up against the truth. They're resisting the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once again, that wisdom is not from above. It's earthly. It's sensual, it's of the senses, it's how I feel at that particular time, and it's devilish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the man and the demon, if you will, they came to an agreement. When they left each other's company, the man was not possessed. See, a lot of times, well, the devil overtook you. No, he didn't. You don't take that man. Nobody was going to overtake him. He wasn't going to allow it. This man took the whole human race with him when he left.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how clever he was. He took us with him. God had to send his son to rescue us. That's how that wisdom was. That wisdom was not from above, but it's earthly, it's sensual, and it's devil. Well, where there's envy, once again, pushing up against the word, striving against the word, there's a state of confusion. And out of that state comes every evil work. It says, 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first is pure.
Amen.
It's not contaminated by anything in itself, though it's mixed with evil. What do you mean? When God, Jesus came into my life, his wisdom was not contaminated when it came in contact with me. The problem is I have to allow the wisdom of God to manifest itself. I've got to become familiar with myself and him to know the difference. In the church today, a lot of folks don't know the difference between their own voice and the voice of God. Why? Because the voice of God, God's going to use your own mind to communicate.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
He's going to use your own mind to communicate. And if you don't know the difference between you and Jesus, that's when you get into that other wisdom that's not from above.
Amen.
So first it's pure, then it's peaceable. It's going to cause peace. Now, not peace at any cost. What do you mean? You see this portrayal on TV of these Christians that go around, you know, they got their hands folded and everything evil come along, they just go along with it. No. God told the Israelites to go into to them lands and eradicate those evildoers.
Right, right.
He said, his heel shall crush his head and his head shall bruise his heel. What does that mean? We're to crush the mindset of that evil wisdom. Jesus had did it. We have to do it.
Amen.
In other words, I've got to crush all of those thoughts that come up in my mind. Yeah. Thoughts that say that the people of God don't love me. Thoughts that say they talking about me when folks having a conversation and then all of a sudden it stops. They're not even thinking about me, but my mind tells me that wisdom, that old wisdom tells me that they talking about me. What's that going to do? It's going to separate me from the brotherhood.
Yeah.
So it's pure, then it's peaceable. But once again, not at any cost. It's gentle. Easy to be entreated. In other words, it's compliant. It's kind. It's full of mercy and it's full of good fruits. Love, joy, peace. It's full of all of those things. Good attitude. That includes like on your job. I hear a lot of Christians say, I don't do that. What do you mean? You signed a contract and you said you was going to do all that was what's there for the thing. Now, a lot of times everything's not written in the contract, but if your boss comes to you for it, you're obligated to do it.
Right.
I'm not doing that. But you say you're a Christian. Don't you know you proclaim that to your boss and your boss is looking at you while you saying you're not going to do it? What kind of Christian is that they're thinking? We're supposed to be able to influence those all around us. That includes those that may be above us as far as rank, position. How do you think Joseph got the position here? He obeyed those that were over him, even though it was in a bad situation. We're to do the same thing. It's full of good fruit. It's full of mercy. And it's without partiality. In other words, it's not going to cause me to judge for my own self. It's going to cause me to consider the things of God so that I'm not partial in my own wisdom.
Amen.
And without hypocrisy, faking. A lot of folks come up and fake in the church.
Amen.
See, this wisdom is supposed to, I'm supposed to be able to treat Brother Tony right.
Right.
Brother Joe right. Reverend Gilmer right. Everybody right. It don't make no difference what color you are, Brother Little John, Brother Russell.
Yes.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. Okay? Those that are not saved.
Yeah.
How you gonna get them to come to the kingdom if we call them devils and demons and don't want to have nothing to do? I can't communicate with them. Jesus communicated with everybody. That's the wisdom that's from above.
Thank you. Yes.
Full of mercy. He had mercy when he communicated with me. I was lost. If he didn't communicate with me, I'd be gone. And I'm going to tell you something. I would have been gone after I got saved, because there was a time in my life I was all messed up and in the church. And a woman of God told me, if you would have died, you would have bust hell wide open. Saved. Speaking in tongues. In the church.
Yeah.
And got myself caught up in some stuff and had to get out. It happened.
Yes.
Thank God for his mercy. Yes. Somebody showed me some love in here that's not here anymore. They're gone on to be with the Lord. But they showed me some love that in spite of myself, because myself was telling me, that wisdom was telling me, you need to leave. You're not good enough. You're not acceptable. You're dirty now. Somebody showed me some love. Showed me that they missed me. They said, brother, we were looking for you. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
Thank you.
He said, you know what? Somebody made a promise that they was going to do some stuff. And I'm like, who said that? You. What that did was that caused me to come together in spite of my circumstance, because I was still a mess. But in spite of the mess, that love that comes out of the wisdom that's from above caused me to come together and caused me to begin to become stable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that I can stand up on my own two feet and then realize, in spite of the way I'm feeling, in spite of the way my life is going, God still loves me and I can become a part of the ministry.
Amen.
Now, my goal wasn't to be up here. I'm telling you that. It was not to be up here. My father went through, we saw what he went through. I was like, man, please, I ain't been talking, I ain't no minister. Just sit out there. I'm going to support the minister, but I'm not getting up preached. God had other ideas.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So it's full of mercy. It's full of, it's not with partiality, and it's without faking.
Yeah.
So that the love that we know is genuine, so it can help somebody. That's the love God is talking about, so that it can help somebody. You've got to be in a position to help somebody else. Yeah. You've got to be in a position to encourage someone else. You've got to be in a position in spite of what you're going through. Because a lot of times when those folks coming to you, you're not going to be in good shape as far as emotions or circumstances financially, and you still got to minister.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Okay. But you have to use the wisdom that's from above. You have to separate yourself. I tell folks a lot of times, it's not about emotion. What do you mean? We come to church, we jump, we shout, we do all those things. But it's not about that all the time.
Right.
It's about instruction.
Yes.
Amen.
I said this in the Bible study, and I'll repeat it here. I said, there was a time where Aaron was anointed to be high priest. But God had some instructions for Moses. For Aaron. God told Moses to tell Aaron. He says, tell your brother, and I'm going to paraphrase, that he can't, now he's the high priest, he can come up into the Holy of Holies. He said, he can't come up in the Holy of Holies anytime he wants to. Because if he does, I'll kill him. Do you think Aaron was bucking his shout and saying, God said he was going to kill me. Hallelujah. No, he sat there receiving knowledge.
Right.
In other words, God telling you, you only come up here by appointment only, by my appointment only. That's the only time you come up in here. Aaron wasn't bucking and shouting and speaking in tongues when God told him that. So there's a practical thing that you have to receive the instructions of God so that you know how to operate in the kingdom of God. Where the instruction? From Romans on back. That's where the instructions are. With a body there. We have to learn how to get along and flow there.
Right.
God set up a new covenant so that we judge. He said, I judge myself when I drink that cracker and that juice is how I treat my brother, not whether I committed a sin or not.
Amen.
Because I can get forgiveness for sin at any time I got to advocate for the Father. I don't have to wait to get here on First Sunday and get my sins forgiven. But I do have to judge myself on how I treat my brothers and sisters. Because guess what this man also knows how to do? He know how to forget.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I know how to forget how to treat Pastor Rutherford right. I know how to forget how to do right by my pastor and undercut him and undermine him. He'll cause you to forget on purpose.
Yeah. Right.
You not watching.
Yeah. Right.
That wisdom is not from above. Man. Now, go to Proverbs. God prepared something for us in time past and send it to us. Since we're talking about wisdom, you can take this two ways, but we present it as wisdom. Here's a teaching moment. When you look at Proverbs, they're talking about the Proverbs. Solomon wrote the Proverbs. No, he did not. Not all of them. Solomon was raised up to be king, so therefore he had to begin to get instructions how to act like a king. That's what the Proverbs are for. Men of God, that of the royal house, began to teach Solomon about wisdom. That's why Solomon was known as the wise man, because he received that godly wisdom. The only problem was he didn't receive all the wisdom. How many times in the book of Proverbs do you see where it says, stay away from the strange woman? That lets you know right there, Solomon did not receive all of the wisdom. Because what was Solomon's problem? What caused Solomon to fall at the end? The strange women. So it was written to Solomon.
Yeah.
The same way that this wisdom is written to us. Proverbs 8, 8th chapter. Sorry if I didn't give you that. 8th chapter, and we're going to start at the 22nd verse. We're talking about wisdom, but there's no spin to this. 8 and 22, he says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. He acquired me or constituted me wisdom in the beginning of his way. This wisdom was begotten before the world. Before the overthrow or the disruption. When he talks about the world, it talks about the world after it fell. So the Lord acquired me, he begot me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. 23rd verse, he said, I was set up from everlasting. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning. Before the ages were set up, I was there. This wisdom was there.
Amen. Amen.
When you think about the creation, the first thing we think about is the planet stuff. No. Time and space was set up first. And then God placed the planets and everything else within it. So before time itself was set up,
yeah,
this wisdom was there.
Yeah.
Or ever the earth was. When there were no depths. When there was no death, I was brought forth. I was made. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled or prepared or fastened down. Before the hills, I was brought forth. This wisdom, this begotten wisdom, was brought forth.
Amen.
Woo!
Wow.
Said, while as yet he had not made the earth nor the fields, this wisdom was brought forth. Read this verse here. It says, while he had not yet made the earth nor the field nor the highest part of the dust of the world. You know how when you hear things and you compare what you know against what God knows. And when I read that about the highest part of the dust and found out what it meant. See, when I think about microscopic things, I think about down. I think about low. God here is talking about the highest part of the dust. He's saying before the particles that make up everything, I was there.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
He said the highest part of the dust. Man is still looking at it. He's still finding particles and things that were in creation that the mighty one has set up. The mighty one, his wisdom was set up before all of that.
Glory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo, Jesus.
Glory.
He said, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the earth, when he made the earth a circle. Now, folks argue about how long it took and all of this stuff. Well, like I said, he said, I'm the Ancient of Days. Time don't mean nothing to him. Now, the restoration, we're not talking about that, but when he first created and said God created the heavens and the earth, it took millions of years to form it. He formed it out of the gases and brought it forth. And he shaped it and he formed it at his own will. He said, his wisdom said, I was there.
Yeah.
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 He said, I was there when he made a circle in the earth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he created the waters and began to make them surge. When he created the skies above. Said, I was there. When he gave the sea his decrees that the water shall not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, when he had a fixed point on everything being marked out, the waters don't overflow. Now you got earthquakes, the Bible says earthquakes in diverse places, but everything is bound.
Yeah.
The water is bound.
Yeah.
By the power of God.
Yeah.
The water is bound in its place. Everything is set up in its place. He said, 30th verse, he said, then I was by him. Wisdom. I came beside him as one brought up with him. Under his constant care was this one, this wisdom. He said, and I was his daily delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men.
My Lord.
In his image that he created in his image. And God took this wisdom personified and caused it to be placed in a human vessel.
Yeah.
And called it to be manifested. And we know his name is Jesus.
Amen.
He was made wisdom unto us. And sent to us. Under the Father's care. Taught by the Father the wisdom. And that wisdom is taught to us. That is the wisdom that's from above, because he came from above and he came under men and shared the wisdom of God with us and placed that wisdom in us. And that wisdom will work in any sense of circumstances, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's material, whether it's domestic. That is the wisdom of God. It's unlimited. Let me tell you, we think about God, a lot of times he don't interact with the material. And I'm going to close with this. I told the story to the Bible study. It was a painter at Macy's. And we went out to Lakeside Mall. And they had a material on the wall that looks like the top of that border on the top, that light color. and it was wallpaper. And it was tore up in a bunch of spots. And I was an apprentice. And one of the store managers wanted my manager to fix that. He said, well, we don't have the bolts of paper anymore. Well, they left me in the store. They want you to paint what the manager wants painted. Well, they wanted an elevator painted. Okay, and it's about the size of the organ at the door. So I boarded it off with tape so I wouldn't get paint on the wallpaper. Well, rushing around trying to do everything, I forgot to take the tape off. So when I go to take the tape off, it tore the paper where everybody could see it, where the paper was torn on the other part, everybody couldn't see it. Now I'm in big trouble because I got one of them crazy bosses that like to cut you out when you make a mistake. They're not going to help you. They're going to vilify you, want to write you up, want to tear you apart. So I asked the Lord, Lord, I'm in trouble. I need help. What can I do? And I heard the Lord say, take some caulk. Because I torn it down to the paper. You see where you tore wallpaper or you tear drywall and it gets down to that brown paper. I said, take some caulk and put it on that paper. Now, this is all happening instantly. There's not no waiting time. You don't have a lot of time. You don't have time to wait. But God needs to move for you. You got to have it right then and right there. So I took that caulk and put it on that paper. Now God says, look at the tape that you tore off. Take your knife and cut that paper. It's stuck to the back of the tape. Cut it off. Gently cut it off. So I did that. He said, now match it up to the spot where you tore it. So I did, because the caulk was on there. The paper stuck back where it was in its original spot. Now God said, take some more caulk and put it on that spot that you just reattached. So I did that. And when I got done, you couldn't tell that it was torn. God will rescue you out of your situation by that wisdom, by the one he raised up in the beginning. Name called Jesus. He is our wisdom. He is our knowledge. He is our strength and our joy. But you got to pay attention to it. You got to open up this book. You're not going to get it on a television program. You can't get it off of a radio broadcast. You got to open up the book. He is the wisdom. He put himself in this book. And he spread it out to us so that we might have the wisdom not only to bless ourselves but to bless others, because others need to get saved, others need to be healed, others need to be delivered. By that wisdom, you will hold up your whole family. By that wisdom, folks will get saved. Why, you got people in your household that fight God for a long time, but by that powerful wisdom, they can get saved. But if you got to demonstrate it, you got to proclaim it. You proclaim it with your life, not with your mouth. It ain't about opening up the book of Proverbs and saying Proverbs 1 and 10. It's about knowing this word for yourself, getting it down on the inside so it can come out on the outside. Pastor says this all the time. What's in a man is going to come out. If you put the word in, when you get in trouble, it's going to come out. When you get stressed, when you put the word in, it's going to come out. When you get in trouble, if you put the word in, that's going to come out. Come on, give God some praise. Everybody stay. He was set up in the beginning. Yeah. Wisdom personified and sent unto us. And he sits on the throne of each and every one of our hearts. Come on, give God a word. Hallelujah. 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 We need to let loose this wisdom of God. You want it, just want, I want you to come down to the front altar. We're going to pray. Because you need the problem solved. There's problems that you can't solve. There's situations that you can't handle. But the Most High can handle them. The one who was called over there in Luke, they called him the wisdom of God. And I'm talking about Jesus. He's everything to us. Hallelujah. He is that wisdom. He is that knowledge. He is that truth. And we need him more than ever. Because there's many forms of wisdom that's going on out there today. And it's trying to drag you off the track. It's trying to trick you. It's trying to deceive you. But if you had a true wisdom of God, the God to lead you, you can overcome. Come on, give God some more praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.